Hi, everybody. Get myself together here.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. What time is it there?
10, just 3 hours.
Yeah. All right. It's good to see everybody. Okay, so welcome. It's really good to see everyone. Couple of housekeeping, well, really just one housekeeping piece. You'll get an email this week, but I just want to make sure you have on your calendar. We're gonna have we're lucky enough to have another bonus call. This one's going to be with Nima Novak from our circle. I'm really excited for it and just really pleased to be able to host it. The call is going to be taking a look at microaggressions, at what microaggressions are, how they impact others. And what we can do to really to mitigate microaggressions. This is one of those topics that it's another one of these topics where it's like the more I learn, the more I see that I need to learn. I think that it's so important as practitioners, but also just as human beings, that we're really aware of how our words affect and impact others. And so we'll be looking at that with Nima. Mark your calendars. The date of that call is October 28th. It'll be an hour from 1 to 2 Eastern. And we're not going to be recording that call. So, if that's something that you would like to be part of, gotta be there live. Okay, so we are moving into today's call, kind of is moving us into a new unit in Sacred Depths. This is so like our first unit was our foundational skills and also looking at those foundational skills in advanced ways. Our second unit was all different, tools and explorations of obstacles, fears, the things that can get in our way, the things that can get in our clients' ways. And then this last unit, it's kind of this whole last unit is kind of like a bonus unit. It's different pieces that I just felt are important topics to explore for those of us that are holding space for other human beings. Topics that don't get looked at too much, or the ways that we're going to be looking at them in trainings. Some of the topics, particularly today's topic, and then when we move into time, they're kind of philosophical explorations, but I think philosophical explorations that they're just important for us to hold and be aware of and have the wisdom of when we're working with our clients. So you'll see more what I mean as we get into it. The topic of today's call is being in the mystery and letting go. So we'll take a look at what that means. But before we do, I'm a little nervous to say this, but I think we're gonna do it. I wanna try an experiment. The short story is that since the pandemic hit a couple of years ago, I have not held any in-person retreats or workshops or circles or gatherings. And the introvert part of me loves that. I don't have to ever leave the house or be with people. But there's a whole other part of me that, of course, misses so much being with other people in this way, in this way of coming together. And there's also a part of me that really misses a lot of the activities, experiences, exercises that we get to really can only do when we're in the room with other people. I just miss so much of that and so much of that connection and so much of that facilitation. So I got it in my mind over the weekend that it would be worthwhile for us to try something that I usually only do in person and to see if it translates over Zoom. So, this is an experiment. It will either be really awesome or it will be an epic fail, but it'll only take a few minutes. Are y'all game to try this with me? Yeah. Okay. If it's an epic fail, let it not leave the container. So, I'm going to tell a story, and the story is we could spin it to be related to our call today too. So, if it works well, it will be a nice foundation for our call today. But in order for me to tell the story, I want to invite you to be part of it, and to help me tell it. And the way that we're going to do it is like this. In Jewish culture, and this is not unique to Jewish culture, but I know this from Jewish culture, we have what's called a nigun. And what a nigun roughly means is a melody without words that is sung. It's a kind of like a harp melody, if you will. Lots of different niguns, lots of different harp melodies. So the way that I would like to tell this story is I'm going to teach you all a nigun. Doesn't matter where you're at with your singing ability. We're going to see the way that this is an experience is we're going to take ourselves off mute. We're going to see if this works with us all singing on Zoom together. We'll sing the melody. And then I'm going to weave the story in and out. And you'll know I'll gesture for when we're going to go back into the nigun. I'll kind of gesture for when I'm going to go back into the story. Could be a ton of extra background noise and it doesn't work. Or it could be really fun. You want to try? Okay. So I'll sing the nigun and then you'll sing it with me. It goes like this. Lie, 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 lie. Lie, 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 lie. Okay, you have to take yourself off mute now. Let's see if we can do it. All right. Lie, 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 lie. Lie, 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 lie. That's not gonna work.
It doesn't unfortunately work to sing together on Zoom.
It does not.
Thanks.
So, since I've had this big setup for you, though, we'll do it this way. Will you sing along with me on mute when I sing the? Okay. So, you gotta do it, right? Even though I can't hear you. Okay. So, put yourselves back on mute. We'll try it this way. The singing is important. When people sing together, their hearts entrain. Their heartbeats start to move the same way, right? Okay. Lie, 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 lie. Lie, 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 lie. Lie, 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 lie. Again. Lie, 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 lie. Lie, 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 lie. Lie, 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 lie. This is the story of a tree, an itsy bitsy teeny weeny sapling little tree who found herself there, alive one day. At first, unaware that she was, well, short, she stood in all her majesty, a daughter of the earth, connected to the mother beneath her, grateful for the day in front of her, happy to be her. Lie, 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 lie. And so it went, day after day, night after night, until one morning, as she was greeting the sun, the little tree looked up and realized that she was not alone. She noticed three other trees not too far away from her, just a little bigger, just a little taller than her. Oh my, the little tree thought, I'd like to be that tall too. Well, it won't be too long now, not more than a day or two, that I'll grow to look like that. And it was in that moment that she first felt that beautiful, that glorious, that pressure-filled feeling of wanting to fulfill her own potential. Lie, 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 lie. 2 days later, the little tree greeted the morning, expecting to be much taller. But to her dismay, she found that she was exactly the same size. And she looked up at the other three trees and found that they were even taller, even stronger than they had been before. And could it be their branches held fruit? Well, you may know how it went from here. An itty bitty voice was activated in the teeny weeny tree, and it went like this. What is wrong with me? I must be cursed. I'm just not good enough. Why can't I grow? My life would be so much better if I were bigger, if I were taller, if only I were better, if only I were richer with fruit, then my life would really begin. Lie, 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 lie. Lie, 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 lie. And so it went until the tree decided that she could force herself to grow. She took a deep breath and began to push. She pushed and she pushed and she pushed. But nothing happened. She didn't get any taller, though she was truly exhausted. And she decided to push again, and she pushed, and she pushed, and she pushed so hard that one of her delicate, beautiful branches broke right off and onto the ground. And that itsy bitsy voice inside of her, which was no longer itsy bitsy, but loud and strong, it said, what a failure I am. I can't get anything right. And those other bigger, better trees, they must be laughing at poor little me. And there she was, Alone, dejected, frustrated. Now this is when the little tree decided to stop pushing. She was so tired that all she could do was be and wait and be, and so that is what she did. She waited and she was, and she grew her roots, and she waited and she was, and she grew her roots until one morning she woke up to greet the sun and noticed the view was different. Could it be? Oh yes, it could. The view was most certainly different. She had grown so tall, so strong during the night that she could look down and see the tops of all the other tall trees. Lie, 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 lie. Lie, 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 lie. Lie, la, lie, la, lie, la, lie, la, 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 la. All right. Thank you for indulging me. How'd that work? Yeah. What feels important about this story as we step into looking at the mystery and embracing winter? What feels important for you? I'd love to hear a voice or two. Chelsea.
Thank you. That was really sweet. For me, it was both the storytelling format, which is just like such a different way to interact with content and with ideas that feels really warm and really like inviting and just touches like a different part of my brain or my being. And then the part that really jumped out at me, I wrote it down, was she waited and she was. And I think you said it multiple times, she waited and she was. And just that patience and that like being, especially just juxtaposed to the pushing, which I feel like is like always my first kind of go-to. And then I'm like, wait, no, right, that doesn't work. Okay. The other way, she waited and she was. And so it felt like almost like a mantra that was going into my heart.
I love that. Yeah. And I love what you're saying. It's like the pushing, and we'll look at this a bit today. It's like a default. I think you used the word default. It's a default way of being so often in this modern world. I'm glad that that went in. And yes, to your point about storytelling, you know, this is one of the ways of activating the four levels of learning and processing, right? When we tell stories, when we sing, it's not just about the mental. The heart is engaged, the soul is engaged, the body is engaged. When we do the singing, it's a different way of learning and really taking in information. Good. Sharon.
Yeah. I love that. I mean, I love Nigun. And so that was inspiring to me on a few different levels. One of them being that I want to be bringing more of that into, you know, groups and circles and things that I lead. So I love the way you brought that in, and that you, well, and that it was part of the storytelling was just really sweet and powerful. And I agree with Chelsea about the, you know, she waited and she was, she waited and she was. I know whenever I get into the push mode, It usually does not serve me, and something does end up breaking or falling off or aching or whatever. And, you know, I had purposely taken this summer as a hiatus from marketing, mostly not from working, but from marketing. And, you know, I just trusted that things would come back around. And it took a little longer. It didn't start at the beginning of September, but now I'm like engaging from a different place and from a more rooted, kind of solid, here I am. Hineni, here I am place. Yeah.
I love that. I'm so happy to hear it. I know it was such a conscious decision for you, and it's such a beautiful example of the power of rest and knowing when it is time to winter something, right?
In the middle of summer.
Well, whatever that, right?
Right, whatever it is. But yeah, they're right. That was wintering in the middle of summer. So thank you.
Yeah. Good. Elvie.
Yeah, I've never experienced Nigun. That was beautiful. And I love the fact that it was a story. I love storytelling as well. Not me personally, I need to learn a little bit more of that, but hearing it and being participating with you as you were telling the story, that was really, it was just really moving. I got moved by the story too. And what he told me, and it's something that I've been thinking about lately a lot, is about honoring and accepting where we're at. Because we're at the right place at the right moment, and we just need to accept that. And there's a natural force for growth and evolution. And sometimes when we force things, and you know, we all do this, we go against the flow. We actually end up fighting that natural flow and the energy that's supposed to come out when it's supposed to come out. So it was really, I love the story.
God, I'm so really glad. Great. Yeah. And I love what you're saying. There are moments and seasons to take a lot of action, to be, you know, there is more adrenaline going, like there is, we are, I am often in hustle mode. And then there are other moments where that is not what is needed.
And just honoring that.
Yes.
It's okay if we're not on the hustle mode, and it's okay if we're not constantly putting things out there. So
more than okay, it's needed.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Good. I'll take one more. Wendy.
Yeah, thank you. So everything everybody has said, so beautiful. I love this, and I love story as well. So what occurred to me as you're telling the story is that when she becomes aware of the other bigger trees, is that then she's rushing. Like she's rushing her growth. She's rushing from where she is towards something else without acknowledging where she is or what she has. And it just felt like so many parts of my life and what I see in others is this rushing toward rather than being okay, being who we are. And then I had this other weird thought I'll just share here, because at one point I thought you were going to say she grew up and the other trees were old and dying or had been cut down or something. I had that thought. I just want to share that sometimes we go forward and then all of a sudden we're at the end or someone else is at the end and we've missed, you know, so that's beautiful.
Yeah, I don't think that's a weird thought at all. Mm-hmm. I'm glad that you're bringing it in. And also this piece, kind of sometimes when we see where others are at, that our own peace and gratitude can fly away and then we're in the race. Yeah. Heather's saying in the chat, the breaking point sticks out in my mind. What are we breaking in not honoring and rooting? Yeah, powerful. Okay, so let's use all of this to dive in today. So much So often in the coaching industry and in the transformational industry, we speak about creating new things, about creating goals and achieving them, all good, it's good stuff. But very rarely do we really take a serious look at not doing. And even more rarely do we actually take a serious look at destroying. We speak so often about more, but we very rarely speak about less and about when less is more or about loss. And this is an important, I just believe it's, we are missing something as not just as humans, but as practitioners, if we're not holding this full picture. And if we're not holding this when we're working with our clients. Because the truth is that life, real life, not Instagram all the time happy life or all the time doing more life, but real life is about both. It's about creating and it's about destroying. It's about manifesting in the right moments and it's about letting go in the right moments. It's about the power of more and it's also about the power of less. It's about the value of being clear and clarity and knowing, but it's also about the value of not knowing sometimes and fogginess and mystery. No matter what work you do and no matter what kind of person you work with, no matter what you help them with, if you are doing the authentic work, then clients are going to have all of this experience. Sometimes it looks like leaving marriages or partnerships or loss of a loved one. Sometimes it looks like leaving a home or losing a home. Leaving a job or loss of a job, letting go of clients or programs. This may look like having an illness. This may look like it being the right moment to slow down and let things rest. Collectively, for those of us that are attuned and aren't sleepwalking through our lives, we've experienced a collective winter through the pandemic. Slowed down and then, you know, things sped up too. I can share many, many, you know, just even from my own life, different examples of loss, letting go, valuing destruction over creation in the right moment, valuing less over more in the right moment, valuing letting go over manifestation in the right moment. And I'll give just two really brief examples right now just to, I think, to spark thoughts and exploration. But, you know, one example is I had a program that I ran for many, many years. It was called the Entrepreneurial Happiness and Abundance Program. It was a year-long program and it was epic. It was amazing. We had retreats and online calls and some private work. And the group of people that were in this program They loved it so much, and we did such good work that literally I year after year after year, I didn't have an opening in this program. So for 7 years, I couldn't even, once or twice I invited somebody new into the program, but it was just filled year after year. And in our seventh year, things were amazing. Things were going so well, transformation was continuing, you know, all of that. But I could feel, and I tried to pretend like it wasn't there, and I tried to ignore it, and I tried to reject it, but I finally paid attention to it. I could feel that. I just knew that this was the last year for this program. It wasn't because I wasn't as engaged or I wasn't as excited or people weren't receiving results. It was just this, it was this feeling of we've run our course. I often think of things in groups of seven, but even beyond that, it was just like we've run our course. And even though it was, you know, even though it was the kind of thing that made me, I mean, this program alone made well into the six figures. I didn't have to market it. You know, it was just like easy every year. And even though I loved it, I knew inside of me that if I were to continue beyond that seventh year, that it would be out of integrity. It would just be out of integrity for many different reasons. And it was scary to let it go. At first, it was a little bit of a shock to the people in the program. You know, it was letting go of that easy, right? Like that easy abundance coming in, the familiarity. These people spoke my language. You know, we did such good work together, you know, all of that. But I knew that it was right to do. As it turns out, it was the right decision, 100%. Some of those people continued working with me privately, some of them didn't, but letting go of that program is what eventually led me to the next evolution in my business. So that's one example. If we as practitioners don't pay attention to this whole other half of life, of loss, of destruction, of letting go, of less, of stopping, of being, then we run the risk of becoming what I call a push coach or a push practitioner. Always pushing and prodding clients forward instead of finding the aligned, organic pace that clients are meant to be in any given moment, right? And different moments require different paces. Also, when we become push coaches, we can tend to bypass client feelings, their needs, their natural rhythms, and their potential opportunities. A lot of the coaching out there today is push, 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 go, 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 more, more, more. Again, there are moments for that, and then there are moments that is the exact opposite of what is needed. So, a lot of my understanding of this comes from being a student of the cycles of the earth, the cyclical nature of the earth, and the understanding that spring and summer, you know, which is so much about new energy and action and you know, vibrancy and creating new things and things are growing and blooming and blossoming, right? All of that. The understanding that those seasons are really important. And when I say season, I don't even mean that time of year, right? Just like that season, it comes around, right? But really also understanding that autumn and winter are just as important. They are not less than seasons. They are just as important. They're absolutely necessary. The earth cannot get to the spring each year if it doesn't go through the letting go of the autumn and then the silence of the winter. It is not possible. And I think, you know, I believe, like, because as a culture, we've decided that we can override that, right? That's why there's so many problems right now. While autumn and winter can feel tougher sometimes, what gives me solace and what I think is really important for us to remember is that this isn't linear. This is cyclical. The spring and summer always come round and the autumn and winter come round. We're not in autumn and winter forever, but we do need to go through it to get to the next spring and summer. So I like to think of the importance and the necessity of winter phases. And we could call a winter phase, for example, taking a sabbatical. We could call a winter phase a phase of like deep intentional resting, healing. A winter phase might be when you release something. When I released that program, it went into a winter phase. Winter phase is also about letting something die and grieving it. And I'll just share another little personal piece that's hopefully helpful. I am right now in the middle of, after 20 years, this is the first time in 20 years, I'm in the middle of a sabbatical from private work, from one-on-one work. It began in August, and it's gonna continue at least through the end of this year, except for my two maternity leaves, where I took about 8 weeks each time. I have never once in all these years taken time off from ongoing one-on-one clients. And towards the end of this last spring, my business had grown so much over the last year and a half. And between that and just all of the stress of everything that's going on in the world and recognizing that I needed space and that my children needed more from me during this period of time, thank goodness I saw that even though I was doing fine, if I were to continue on, things were not going to be fine at some point. I was not going to be able to Well, I shouldn't say I wasn't going to be able to serve in all the ways I love to serve, because I'm like such a stickler that I'm going to show up for my clients no matter what, but I wasn't going to be able to continue to show up for me in the ways that I knew I needed and some of the deeper ways that I knew that I just need right now during this period of time. And again, like I bring this up because it was scary to let all of my clients know I'm taking 5 months off. You know, like we're going to take 5 months off. It was scary because I didn't want to let them down. I'm such a relationships person. I always want to be there for everybody. What if they don't come back? Right? Like all the things. But I credit a little bit building a sustainable business that I know I can lean on, but even more than that, I credit like having this wisdom and this valuing the winter as much as the summer, as being able to take those steps. I do have like two or three clients that clung on still working with right now, and that felt like a good place to be, right? That doesn't mean that I'm not going to come back to the private work, but it does mean that I'm honoring having more time and space right now and more time to be in nature and more time to lay on the couch and look at the ceiling and more time to be with my kids. So just to say, and I know this is obvious, but just to say, what we're talking about here can either be about letting something go in your life, right? Like a partnership, a type of client, a program, you know, et cetera, or it can be about a period of time where you're doing less. You haven't fully let go of the thing. You may come back to it, but it's a time of pulling back and doing less. So why is it important to let go? Or why is it important to consciously step into a winter phase when the timing is right? Well, we all know this, but I'll just say, if it's time to let go of something, or it's time to step into a winter phase, and we don't do those things, misalignment happens, right? We end up doing too much and maybe burning ourselves out. We end up then missing other opportunities that are coming our way, but we've been so busy trying to upkeep the things that we think we need to cling on to. Sometimes when we don't let go, when it's time to let go or step into a winter phase when it's the right time, illness happens. Or we end up way more dysregulated. Our nervous systems end up way more dysregulated than they need to be. Sometimes we end up settling for the known instead of making space to receive the ideal. Sometimes we end up overcomplicating things instead of keeping things simple. And sometimes when we don't consciously let go or step into the winter phase, we bypass the experience of grieving something that's ready to be grieved. All right, so that all sounds easy enough. However, it is very hard to let go or consciously step into a winter phase. When, you know, the other thing is like, sometimes when we don't consciously step into a winter phase when it's time, we just get knocked into it, right? And then it's even harder. Sometimes that just has to happen because it's life, but so much better to like prepare for the winter, right? That's what the autumn is all about, you know, storing food, right? Getting all the supplies ready so that you can make it through a winter versus just like being knocked into it. So why is it so hard then for us, for our clients, to let go or to step in to a winter phase? Well, there's lots of different reasons. Fear of missing out is one of them. Everybody else is, right? Like all the things. Fear of scarcity, right? Which can look like fear of not having security, or fear of not having other opportunities, fear of not having enough, an addiction to more, which I think is rampant in our society right now. Sometimes it's hard to let go or step into a winter phase because of the fear of change. Yeah, Rose is saying the fear of what's on the other side, right? I'm change averse and risk averse. I have to work at it. I like my securities, you know, and what I know to be true. Related to this is fear of the mystery, right? So when I say fear of the mystery, I also mean, as a culture, we have an addiction to clarity and always needing to know. And I'm a big fan of clarity and needing to know, but that's we shouldn't devalue the moments where we don't know, where we're in the mystery, where we're kind of in that suspension of not being able to see the details of what's next. That's actually the time of dreams, right? That's darkness. When we don't know, when we're in the mystery, is when we can dream what's next and what might be better. When we're already like clear and we know, there's less space for visioning. Sometimes we have a fear, or it's hard to let go or step into a winter phase because we have a fear of open space and time. When there is open space and time, we are more prone to feel our feelings, to feel our grief, to feel our anger, to feel maybe our dissatisfaction. And a lot of us avoid that by keeping busy or clinging on to what we know. Sometimes it's a fear of letting others down. If we take a step back, that certainly happened as I was contemplating this sabbatical. And then if we want to get really philosophical, sometimes it's hard to let go or step into a winter phase because it is related to like that existential fear of death itself. All right, let's pause here. I know I'm sharing a lot. What's bubbling for you? What are you seeing? What's feeling important so far? I'd love to hear a couple voices. Nat.
Wow, this is... yeah, this is really speaking to where I'm at. Thank you so much for this. Yeah, I really feel myself in a winter stage right now. And so much so that because it almost seems like counterintuitive because I'm at the beginning of like launching my business and starting my business and it needs like persistency and consistency and almost pushing. And I feel like I've been at that, like every few days posting. And in the last few days, I've just not wanted to. I've not been feeling it. My energy's been really low. And every time I've gone to write content, I've like, it just feels off, you know, it just doesn't feel aligned. And I can feel myself pushing and pushing. So I guess like my question is, do I prepare in my like more spring summer stages and get that like ready for when I'm in a winter stage, or do I just let that winter stage have its time to do nothing and not post anything for however long? And you're right, like there is a fear of the unknown and how long is this gonna last? And I really feel like I'm deep in winter, even though I'm actually spring in my cycle, my menstrual cycle, which is interesting. But I really feel like I keep getting this message, do nothing, rest, do nothing. And it's so hard to do that, yes, you know?
It really is. And these are great questions. And these are, you know, I'm so glad you're asking it because this relates to like, okay, our client work, because this is going to come up, right? So a couple of things. First, there isn't any one right answer, right? As you've heard me say a million times, always coach the what based on the who, right? So for each client, I want everybody to have like this wisdom and then use your, you know, with clients I'm talking now, and then I'll answer you specifically, Natalie, or we'll look a little deeper, but with our clients, we want to have this wisdom and then use our questioning skills, our creating awareness skills, our visioning, you know, to support a client to see, okay, how do they want to navigate it? Because it's going to be different. You know, some winter phases are going to be 2 days. Some winter phases are going to be a year, you know? So right. Some winter phases, it's like everything is in winter. Other winter phases are like social media is in winter, but this isn't in winter, right? So there's so many different ways to hold it, and depending on what's right, you know, as I heard you and was listening to you, Nat, first, I just really want to acknowledge you for paying attention to that inner voice that is saying stop. Because it's a big deal just to even hear it, right? So often we're not even willing to hear it. And I hear that you've really been hearing that loud and clear. So that's a big deal. I want to acknowledge you for that. And I'll put the question back on you. You know, and you can even ask yourself, maybe even close your eyes and put a hand on your heart for a moment. What does your heart want you to know about moving forward? Take a moment and connect in. What does your heart want you to know?
Yeah, it's really wanting me to trust in the timing, and like really drop into just like drop into myself and just be in the feeling and be in the like stepping back, like dropping in and trusting that, I will know when I get that moment of inspiration.
Beautiful. And let's just be with this for one more moment. Be with your heart. And ask your heart if it may or may not, but ask if it has any wisdom around how you can track yourself so that you know when the right time is versus getting stuck in fear.
Could you?
Yeah, that was a complicated question. How will you know when the right time to start posting is?
It will have like a different quality to the action. It won't feel like I should be doing it.
Yeah,
which is what I'm in at the moment.
Yeah. And I noticed even when you said the word should, to me, it looked like there was an anxious energy.
Yeah.
Did that. Yeah. Beautiful. Okay. And then just one last piece. Ask your heart what it wants you to be doing in terms of your business right now. Are there any activities or anything that it would like for you to be focusing on?
Yeah, I'm feeling a lot more my own inner journey, like this kind of feeling, okay, I want to facilitate women, I want to help women, and part of helping them is actually learning how to like be with these feelings and sitting with the feelings and honoring what's coming up. And I'm not doing that so much for myself.
So that's a beautiful next piece of work. And my sense is once you work through that more, that is probably part of your messaging too for your ideal client.
That is really true. That's so true. Thank you. Yeah.
Good. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Joanna. Yeah.
Stephanie.
Hello. Nat, thank you so much for sharing. I really, really resonated with everything that you said. So I just wanted you to know that. And I think the thing for me that's hitting hard is that sometimes we just get knocked into winter and then our nervous system gets dysregulated. And that happened for me, I'd say starting around April, May. And I pretty much, like Sharon, took off the summer, and, you know, late September, October came around, and now I haven't done any marketing, and I did listen to my, to what I needed, and I rested. I also had surgery, so I was forced into resting. So it was one of those things. But I think, you know, my question is, how do I get out of winter when I know that I need income?
Yeah, it's such a good question. So first, I just want to say, like, as you were just sharing, I was looking at your sign with your business name and logo behind you of Gut of Integrity. And I was just thinking, like, I know part of it is like you were kind of slammed into it, but it does also feel in part intentional that you took time for healing, and how in integrity that is, and so much at the core of what you teach and how you support your clients too. So I really want to honor that, because we both know you could have had the surgery and taken 3 or 4 weeks and then forced yourself right into doing some things that would not have been good at all, right? And you didn't do that. And so I really want to acknowledge that.
Thank you.
So it is true when it comes to money that sometimes our soul is in a place of wanting more of a winter. And our bank account is like, yeah. Yeah. So tell me if I'm getting this right. I think what I'm hearing, though, is that you're in a different phase of the winter than you were over the summer. Like, it feels like the summer was deep. Deep freeze for you. You had a silent, long, silent night.
Yes.
And now it's more like almost spring, but not quite.
Yeah. It's maybe like it's February in California.
Awesome. I love that. Yes. Yes. Okay. So there's more activity in February in California than like December in New York. Right? Not as much activity as the summertime, right? But there's more activity. So what would feel aligned for you? Let's just look at it for the next month. What would feel aligned for you in terms of action right now that really honors where you're at and where your body and soul are at? But that is also appropriate for your bank account.
I think continuing to market. I mean, I have been keeping up with my newsletter. That's been pretty constant. I've been posting more to social. I am running a free challenge right now, so there's that.
Yeah, you're...
Which I'm, you know, hoping will then turn into some clients afterwards. But I think making connections feels kind of where I'm at. The personal one-on-one, you know, I love discovery calls for that reason. Yeah. But also, even if it's not a discovery call, maybe it's just like talking to a new person about what I do and how they're feeling. Something slow.
Yes, I love that. So maybe, and this number may not be right for you, but maybe you have a goal right now of like reaching out to 3 people individually each week to connect, right? Not even to sell, right? But because I heard you say like, and then that will lead where it will lead, right? But to connect. So maybe something like that. And then what I'd say is, you know, between the newsletter and the social media and the challenge, you've got a lot going on there. Leverage each of those pieces. Don't just rush through them. If you can slow some of that down and look at, okay, with this challenge, how can I without going into myth of perfection, but like, how can I get the language even more like nailing it for my ideal client so that they get really activated, right? How can this newsletter article, like, what is it, if I want to bring a client on right now, like, what does this client need to hear? What's really top of mind for them? What's going on in their head? Let me write about that instead of just rushing. Better to do fewer newsletters or fewer social media posts, but go deeper with them and really leverage them. Is that helpful?
Yeah, I love that. Thank you so much. That is really helpful.
Good. I'm so glad. Thank you. Rose.
I really love this discussion. And I'm really aware that my view is not working right here. I see Stephanie, which is really nice, but I wanted to see Joanna. How do I do that?
If I talk, does that help?
Yes, that helped. Thank you. Just needed a word. So the short version is I think I was thrown into a wintering phase without knowing it when I closed a previous chapter of my life several years ago. And I couldn't understand what was wrong. You know, I didn't get what was happening. And I remember when you first talked about the rhythms of the wintering, I absolutely resonated. If you remember, I reached out to you and said, I need this course. And so I consciously chose to winter from about March and you took a lot, stepped back from my business, you know, got off social media, did a lot of internal work. I keep waiting to come back, I guess, to come to spring. And what I'm realizing is that this wintering process is inviting me my spring is a whole different spring than it used to be. There's no former spring that I used to have. It no longer is available to me. And that was one where I was very creative, but I always had ideas, but then I would drive them into reality.
Yeah.
And I literally can't do that. And I think my fear is that because I'm beginning to come back, move forward, not just for the money, but because I want to move to a different place. And so I'm looking, it's like, where's the creative downloads? Where'd they go? And it's just, everything is different. And so, I mean, I'm totally in the mystery of it all. And some days are okay, but other days are really not. So I don't know. It's good. And it's really that when you mention all these fears of, you know, I'm at an age where a fear of, you know, the existential fear is really real. So many people I know have died. I mean, really, suddenly, so many my age. And so it's just, I'm really present to how to be in this rhythm, how to follow it and still have some semblance of life and business. And yes. Yeah, so does that, hope that makes sense. If there's a question in there, yeah.
I think that last statement was probably a question, right? How to be in it and in some semblance of business at the same time. Yeah, so again, first, just like everyone else that's shared so far, I want to acknowledge you for taking the space. I'm driving this home because it is not, that's not the norm in our capitalist modern society to do that, right? No. And I think it's so important at the right moment. So I really just want to honor you for that. And I want to honor you also for this, I think, this new awareness that you've uncovered that I think has so much potential for you, which is like reinvention of spring. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so just first, one thought I had was it might be valuable for you to actually put pen to paper and define what this new spring is, what it looks like, you know, how it operates as a way of leaning in and embracing. Because I think those creative doubt, I think what I'm hearing is that not all in all situations, but maybe in a number of situations, the creative downloads, you're going to get to them differently than you used to before.
Yeah. And,
right?
And so they're going to be different.
Yeah.
Just, it's a different thing.
Yeah, so first I think kind of defining that, right, and leaning in and embracing and embodying more what this new kind of spring is, my sense is that that will really be helpful. And then this is more of a, and this is because of time, I'm not asking questions, I'm kind of just giving some suggestions. But similar to what I was sharing with Stephanie, I think there's even different phases of the winter. Like there's the phase of, like, you're talking about the mystery, like the deep mystery and chaos and no structure, and right? And then as the light starts coming back towards the spring, you can see shadows, right? And so my sense is, if that resonates, is like, would it be supportive? I know creativity is organic, but would it be supportive for you to create some containers for the creative downloads to come through in? Yeah. Some of those containers may yield, some of those containers mm-hmm. may not yield, but to put you may be in a moment where more form is mm-hmm. necessary. Does that land?
Yes, ritual or time blocking or woods or, and yeah. I want to say that the way that wintering has phases, when I think I'm moving out of it, then, you know, my body, I, you know, something happened to my right knee in the last few weeks and I can hardly walk from walking my dog. And I'm, you know, something like, you know, it's more wintering of a different sort. Like, no, we're not done yet, honey. So it's really humbling and loving the journey. That's the other piece, is loving the journey and honoring it versus yeah. struggling with what is, because we all know that doesn't get us anywhere, but we sure do. I sure do it. So
yeah, 100%. And I think sometimes when we don't honor this part of the journey, it ends up being longer than it needs to be.
Yes. So that's, yes, that's a, well, thank you. There more will be revealed, I'm sure. So, okay.
Good. Bruce.
Well, while you were waxing philosophical, I was waxing philosophical too. And I was thinking about the, just as I get older, I'm 70, so many of my friends are retiring. And it just seems more and more apparent that so many of them are caught on this threshold between fall, between the harvest, and rather than deepening roots in the winter, they're going into a deep sleep.
Yeah.
And I was thinking from a, you know, from a community organizing perspective, that you lose the capacity for old people to become elders, there's nobody to regulate the temperature in youth. It's not a good thing. It's not a good thing for the culture. Okay. So I was thinking more and more, and just thinking, going on the list of people, my friends that are my age, I'm 70. And which of them are in deep sleeps, and which of them have actually found more vitality as they've gotten older and changed their role.
Yeah. I'm so glad that you're bringing that forward. It's so important. I get chills as you're talking. And, you know, you mentioned this kind of autumn and winter, and just to throw in there, it is easier to go into a more optimized winter if you don't skip over the autumn, mm-hmm. if you don't skip over the, first of all, the harvest, right? The, like, this is what I've accomplished, you know, like really being in that gratitude, you know, all of that. And then the separating the wheat from the chaff, this is what should stay, mm-hmm. this is what should go.
Right.
That usually helps prepare for a more optimized winter.
Yeah.
And yes, 100% to honoring the wisdom of those that are older, and to honoring all of that, not enough of that in our culture. Okay. This is one of those sessions that I wish could go on and on, but I'm gonna kind of move us forward. So I'll share with you, if you want to go deeper just for yourself, some journaling questions around all of this. And I want to share a little bit, I want us to look at a little bit, I mean, so much wisdom has already come through and from all of your shares, but just to kind of share a little bit more around, and this is not an end-all be-all list, you all have more wisdom to share to this list as well, but to look a little bit as at pin down a little bit, so what do we need to know and remember as we hold our clients through letting go or through winter phases? And then we'll look a little bit at how we can help our clients do all of that. So I'm just going to kind of share a couple of like distilled pieces from this conversation that can be really helpful pieces of wisdom. In order for rebirth to happen, death needs to happen first, in one way or another. One of my favorite things you've heard me share before, trees grow the most in the winter. Not above ground, we don't see it in the fruit and the leaves, but in the winter when the tree can actually rest from putting so much attention to let me create more fruit, let me be more flashy, let me, you know, all the things, it can then settle down and focus in the roots underground, and that's when the roots get the strongest, and the tree needs that for the outer growth of the spring and the summer. Some of the greatest visioning can happen in the mystery. When things are full, there's less space to create new opportunity. The spring always comes. Life goes in cycles. It is not linear. This next one, we haven't looked at that much, but I think it's important. There are moments that it is absolutely appropriate to make do with less. Nature knows this, right? Nature knows it's okay to have less leaves in winter. It is appropriate to have less sometimes. Better to have less, but have it be aligned than have more and have it be misaligned. And I'll just share, really, really quick. I'm gonna send out an article about this, but for those of you that know the myth of Inanna, it's a Sumerian myth, queen of heaven and earth. It's always told this time of year. Inanna's queen of heaven and earth. She's got all of this worldly success and all of that. But at some point, she's invited down to the underworld. And in order to get there, she has to go through seven gates. And at each gate, the gatekeeper says, you know, asks her to give something up. And so systematically she gives up her crown and she gives up her battle armor and she gives up her scepter and her ring, you know, until she's completely naked. And only when she's completely naked can she go down into the underworld. The underworld is a transformative experience for her. She gets to know her authentic self and then comes back in the spring. She couldn't do that wearing all the clothing and the symbols and the signs of her worldly success. She needed to take the value out of that for a little bit to really be with herself. grief is normal and natural and necessary. Grieving doesn't mean that everything will fall apart. Sometimes it's easier to think, instead of thinking about letting it go, so for some people it's easier to think about giving it to, up to spirit, right? So it's not like lost forever, giving it up to spirit for a little. This is a biggie for me. This is like one of, the next one is like one of the core of how I approach all of my client work. Health and well-being above all else, period, end of story, no negotiating. Health and well-being above all else. Which one of these feels most important for you to remember? And as Bruce said, please wax philosophical with me. You can add in the chat, give us a minute. What other pieces of wisdom would you like to add around winter? Chelsea's saying that the myth mirrors her own story. It's such a rich myth. I come back to it every autumn. I work it for myself. Health and well-being above all else. Yes. Jennifer's saying less that it is aligned is better than more that it is aligned. Yeah, important reminder. Yep. Okay. Yes, Wendy's saying if we think of our day as full of the cycles, the morning is our spring, midday is summer, evening is fall, and preparing for the rest. 100%. Grief is normal, natural, and necessary. There's always the warmth of the fire and the sprinkle and beauty of the snow. There's beauty in winter. I love all this. Yes. Okay. So, all this being said, how do we help our clients make hard decisions to let something go? To move into a winter phase, whatever that is for them, right? Instead of upholding the, what is it that Rumi says, the open lie that we always have to do more, right? How do we help our clients with this? So first of all, with everything that we've learned here so far over these months, our listening skills, our creating awareness skills, our questioning skills, our befriend your fear, you know, all the things. But I want to kind of remind you of a couple of things and add a little bit more. So number one, the moment that we become attached to outcome, particularly around our clients' goals, is the moment that we've really lost our full capacity to hold space for what's actually needed and necessary for them, to actually be able to see that they may need a winter phase or to support them into it, right? So we don't want to be attached to any outcome when we work with our clients other than being supportive. And I'll say that again, the moment that we become attached to outcome of our clients achieving a particular thing or reaching a particular goal is the moment that we're cut off from our full capacity to actually help them see what's right for them in that moment. They might be in spring or summer, go for the goal, go, 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 but they might be in a different place. Want to remember that there's always more than one way to reach a goal, too. I've filled programs by hustling, and it's been the right thing to do in that instance. And I have filled programs by not doing nothing, but doing less, but really making each piece mean so much more. The simple act of supporting a client to create awareness that they can stop, that there is a choice to slow down, that they are still a person of value if they do, or that there is a choice to release a relationship that's not working anymore, et cetera, just the holding space, using or creating awareness skills is a huge, huge. As I was sharing earlier, before a release, usually some kind of harvest is really helpful. So honoring, you know, even relationships, you know, so often you hear people say, you know, they've gotten out of a relationship, but they never really let go of the romantic relationship. They're still clinging, even though it's not aligned for them, even though the person treated them poorly, et cetera, et cetera. And one of the, I mean, they're, you know, always coach the what based on the who, but one of the pieces is honoring. If we just let go in anger without honoring, now I'm not saying honoring the relationship or the person necessarily, like, this was the best person in the world and they treat, right, if that's not true, but honoring what you've learned through the experience of that relationship. Honoring new parts of yourself that have surfaced, honoring new boundaries, like things you know you'll never do again, really harvesting can support in the letting go. Not being afraid to hold space for grief. So this is a full topic on its own. We don't cover it in Sacred Depths, we cover it in some other programs that I offer. But for now, I just want to share with you, don't be afraid to hold space for grief. And one of the just most important foundational principles around that is to know that you can withstand holding space for grief, and that your client is strong enough to withstand loss. Giving permission to grieve. It sounds so basic, but so many of us from our childhood or whatever it is, we were never given permission to grieve. Creating space for it. Challenging cultural norms like meritocracy. Again, I understand there is a reality to a bank account, but when we can create awareness for clients that what they've just taken to be truth as truth all the time, their whole lives is not necessarily truth, like the more I produce, the more valuable I am. There is a hierarchy to human beings and their value. My life will be better if I have more and more, right? Any of that, challenging those norms. So huge for clients. Even for myself, where it's like, I know this, I know it, and then I give it lip service sometimes. I have to keep on coming back to it in a deeper way for myself. Supporting clients to define terms that they haven't questioned before, but to define them for themselves, terms like abundance or success. What does that actually mean for the client? Not how has culture defined abundance or success or even productivity, whatever it is, good living. And then along with that, supporting clients to clarify their priorities and their values and what they really want from life. So like with my sabbatical, I am clear that for as much as I value doing as much as I can in my work, what I value even more than that is my well-being and my family and having space. And that was a really important piece that went into making my decision. Supporting clients to acknowledge the resources that they have and that they will have through a winter period. So I think I've shared this with you before. I have like a little, because I am such a catastrophic thinker, I always think that I'm gonna like be pushed into a winter against my will. I have a game that I play with myself, which is I list out everything that I have that nobody can take away from me. Things that I know will bring me into the next spring when it's time. Whether it's around my business or my marriage or whatever it is. Another great way to support clients in making decisions around letting go or going into winter is supporting them to make more space, which is what we'll be looking at in the coming weeks in our time module. Okay, we've got a few minutes left. What are you taking away from our time together today? What feels important? Heather.
So I actually have a question. Is that all right?
Yeah, for sure.
I have been in a season of grief for quite a while, but I also have a lot of other areas where I'm in spring and summer. And what I'm finding is this challenge of moving through winter here, but being in spring over here.
Yeah.
And it's really, I'm struggling. So if you could speak to that, that would be great.
Yeah. Yeah. First of all, I want to normalize that. We can be in more than one season at a time in different areas of our life, 100%. And it can be jarring in some of those instances because it's such a different energy and way of being and being with ourselves and being out in the world, right? So that makes perfect sense what you're sharing. My sense is that you maybe have some wisdom around this. And so I'm wondering first, like, what would you like to receive around this?
I think what I would like to receive is how to find harmony between the different pieces.
Yeah.
To allow flow.
Yeah. Sometimes it's hard to tell over Zoom. I feel like there's an emotion that's bubbling up around that. Am I getting that right?
Yeah. Yeah. Tired, exhausted of resilience, of being resilient.
Exhausted of being resilient. Yeah. So do you have a couple, because we're almost at 2:30, do you have like 3-4 minutes?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So because we're at 2:30, of course, for anyone else, if you have to go, please go. I want to hear takeaways. I'll post about it in the Facebook group, and we'll also have time if you want to hang on. And Heather, let's see if we can kind of go a little bit deeper right now. Is it okay to close your eyes?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
See if you can call down in human form the part of you that is tired of being resilient. Just call that one down to show up and be with you in human form, the one that is tired of being resilient. And if you can see this one, if you can, just take a moment and take in the details of this one and let me know what this one looks like.
So this tired one, exhausted one, is like pieces. It's not a full being. Mm-hmm. So it's like a brain and a backbone and shoulders.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're doing really well. And just be with this one, hold space for it. And ask it what it wants you to know from its highest wisdom.
It's okay to not be resilient all of the time.
Take that in. Just be with that. You have permission to not be resilient all the time. Or can you feel the truth of that in your body?
In my heart.
What does that feel like in your heart?
Like a breaking?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A breaking of what?
Of a cage.
Mm.
So it's like a breaking of a cage that allows for expansion.
Getting chills as you're talking. Just be with that. Follow that energy. Watch that expansion. What do you notice?
Deep gratitude.
Yeah.
I have done enough.
Yes, you've done enough.
Breaking is beautiful.
Yes, yes. Yes, to all that. So take that in, be with that for another moment. Make a body memory. And then when you're ready, you can open your eyes.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're so welcome. Can I have you for one more minute? What are you seeing? What's important here? And what are you noticing about harmony?
What's important is that it's okay to break.
Yeah.
And in the breaking is where you will find the harmony. Because you can expand into that space.
Yeah. Yes. So beautifully said.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for sharing with us.
Thank you.
All right, friends, sending you all lots of love. Thank you for your presence and all you've brought forward today. And I will speak with you very soon. Have a wonderful, wonderful rest of your day.